and welcome everyone to another episode of the After Buzz podcast. My name is Nico at Jimmy and your host for the After Buzz. And of course with me is Buzz Adams.
Hello.
Do you like how I did the zzz on your buzz name?
You buzzed it up.
Buzzed it up a little, rizzed it up. So it is a Tuesday. Anything going on in your life this Tuesday?
Well, you know, came into work.
Yeah.
Now doing the After Buzz, and you know, it's a typical Tuesday, I guess.
Anything
special?
Yeah. Like, anything? Yeah, I mean, your daughter's back. I mean, is she living at your place?
She's kind of, you know, she's bouncing.
She's always
back
between
forth.
You and the other house. Yeah,
she's just visiting, and Nana's. She goes to Nana's quite often. That's so,
true. Is her sister here?
Sister is not home for the summer yet.
Ah, okay. Mm.
Thanks for asking.
I'm a concerned friend. That's what friends do.
Everything's well. Everything's fine.
Well, good. That's good to hear. I have an interesting topic today I wanted to discuss with you. I think you've heard a little bit about it before.
What is it?
It is about ancient aliens.
Believe they have a TV show.
They do. It's also kind of topical because the government has released a few more of those UFO files that they keep clamoring about.
I got to tell you, not impressed. Bunch of grainy photos of what?
Big
I don't know.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Big nothing.
Big
burger.
Nothing burger.
All right. So before we move into the actual discussion, though, I was looking up a bunch of stories YouTube videos about sovereign citizens. You heard me listening to that, didn't
Overheard
you?
A little bit, like people who just will not cooperate with the police in any way, shape, or form.
Like they are insane because, look, I understand if you're a murder suspect or if you had like really intense charges and that you're like, well, I'm willing to do anything to try and get out of that. I'm like, okay, I guess try anything means try anything. But these are people that were stopped for just not having a license plate. And it's like, why are you going through the trouble of making up laws and descriptions of laws just to get out of the traffic ticket? Like some of these people were sentenced to way more stuff just because they were
just take the ticket.
But then they have to act,
it'll be over shortly.
It's amazing to see how many people act as if they know the law.
And explain what the sovereign citizen movement is.
The sovereign citizen movement is not really a new movement, but it's definitely become more formalized because of the internet culture, where American citizens believe that they are not under the jurisdiction of American laws.
Specifically the ones they don't like. If somebody came and robbed them, I bet they would be very interested in being under the protection of U.S. law.
Oh, it's hilarious to hear them talk about, like, because none of them are real lawyers, so they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Well, the one I was hearing, the lady, not only is she not using legal terms, she's not even using, like, words that make sense in the syntax she's
that
using.
They're using them. Right. And so they say things like, you don't have jurisdiction over me. But then they'll go, but what about my constitutional rights to this? And you go, you can't be under the Constitution and then say we don't have any jurisdiction over you. So I highly suggest people to go look at some of that. Mm-hmm. It's also National Limerick Day. And there are several famous ones. But if you're curious, what is a limerick and what is the exact structure? Well, I will give you the structure. It is A-A-B-B-A. It's five lines. And what does that mean when it's A-A-B-B-A?
A-A rhymes, B-B rhymes, and then the fifth line rhymes with the first two rhymes.
Exactly. Here is a quick video discussing that.
Okay, let's lighten the mood with a limerick, a poetic form that's seen by some to be a bit of a gimmick, which is perhaps reinforced by its use in bawdy rhymes about men from Nantucket. The structure is five lines, a bouncy sing-song rhythm, and an A-A-B-B-A rhyme scheme that lends itself well to the setup and punchline form of a joke. Here's one from Edward Lear, the limerick king himself. There was an old man with a beard who said, "It is just as I feared. Two owls and a hen, four larks and a wren have all built their nests in my beard." Rhyming beard with beard? The audacity.
Yeah, right? Oh, you can't rhyme beard with a beard. That sucks.
That was not even a good limerick.
That was not even a good limerick, my man.
This is an example. Not great.
All right, let's talk space aliens. Everybody is on a kick about aliens recently. But did the ancient Mesopotamians potentially have anything to do with them? The real story is almost even cooler. Ancient Mesopotamians had a divine bureaucracy that decided human fate. Then thousands of years later, the internet turned them into space miners from planet Nibiru.
Oh, you're talking about the Anunnaki.
I am talking about the Anunnaki.
So this goes back to before the guy with crazy hair on
History Channel.
You know, it goes back really to the 70s. You had authors like... I'm trying to think of the main guy. I think he just passed away.
Zechariah Sitchin.
Yeah, Sitchin definitely had like Planets in Collision, I think was his deal.
The
Eric Von Daniken planet. Might be the... Eric Von Daniken might have been the guy who really got the ball rolling.
Well, what I have is mostly tied to Zechariah Sitchin, especially his 1976 book, The 12th Planet, where he argued from his inaccurate yet own readings of Sumerian material that Nibiru was a planet on a 3,600-year orbit and that the Anunnaki came from there.
Mm-hmm. 3,600-year orbit, that would have put the last time, like, say if they're, like, at this point in the orbit, you would have had to have gone back 3,600 years, which, yeah, would have been Sumerian and Babylonian times.
It would have, absolutely. However, space.com summarizes this as the origin point of the modern Nibiru myth, but notes that there is no scientific evidence for Nibiru as an incoming planet coming at us. Now, NASA's current Planet X, Planet 9 page, you can actually go to the NASA website and look up Planet X. They have a webpage that talks about the hypothesis scientists have had for a possible distant planet based on gravitational patterns in the outer solar system, but it has not been discovered yet.
Yeah, but there's stuff out there. They can tell just from the gravitational pull of the orbit.
Exactly. It would be far beyond Pluto, not a rogue doomsday gold mine.
Okay.
You know. Shuttle like bus. Okay, so today we're talking about the Anunnaki. They were actually ancient Mesopotamian gods who started as divine judges of fate and somehow ended up becoming these weird space aliens.
Kind of reworked into a more modern context, you might say.
Absolutely. And if you're wondering how it's pronounced, it is Anunnaki. I made that mistake when I tried to Google it and was like, Anunnaki? Anunnaki.
I'm going to call you Anunnaki from now on. A member of the pantheon of the Anunnaki.
The Anunnaki are not one single god. There are a group of them, and they come out of the Mesopotamian religions from Sumeria, Akkadia, Babylon, and Assyria, or Babylonia, I guess you could say. Their job, depending on the Sumerian text that you read, because there's lots of different Sumerian texts that reference them, is cosmic administrators. They're the bureaucrats of the world, deciding fate. They judge the dead. They occupy heaven, earth, and underworld roles. So where does... and I don't know if you're familiar with all of the Mesopotamian gods, Buzz, but Ishtar is a famous one. And Ishtar is...
Ishtar was a famously bad movie with Dustin Hoffman.
It was also that.
Beatty.
Ishtar slash Inanna, the sex god, are considered Anunnaki. But then this weird guy, Zechariah Sitchin, read or studied some ancient Sumerian texts.
And was inspired.
He was like, what?
Said, I get what they're really trying to say here. It's aliens.
But a lot of people online will say the higher-ups, the cabal of the world, they don't want you reading those Sumerian texts. Mm. Turns out you can go to the Oxford Electronic Text Corpus of Sumerian Literature if you want, and you can read all of the Sumerian texts that have been discovered and photographed. They literally want you to read the tablets. Where did you first hear this story?
Probably in the context of Old Testament studies and just some of the previous religions in the region that might have impacted not just Christianity, but Judaism. So the Noah story is lifted right out of the Epic of Gilgamesh, for instance. So just that way.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, Zechariah Sitchin says that NASA is hiding this Nibiru planet that they supposedly know about. They also say that there's a bunch of gold on Nibiru. Have you heard this?
No, I've not. I've never done a deep dive into it.
Nibiru apparently has a bunch of gold that they think NASA or some type of cabal from Earth is planning to mine.
Yeah, that much gold would make gold worthless.
Worthless.
If you had a whole planet worth of gold, what's the value of gold?
Right, exactly. So ancient texts are available and studied by people who read the actual languages. The Anunnaki are mythological. They're religious figures with shifting roles. And Nibiru as an incoming planet? No. Fake. A large object swinging into the inner solar system on a timeline that would be detectable and gravitationally disruptive every 3,600 years? Probably not. It's not that the fun question is not whether they were aliens. These people, they weren't. There are no ancient aliens out there. There is no proof that the gods that ancient humans believed in.
I think probably
came
just
down.
Any god myth. You've got a lot of people who are like, "What if they actually existed?"
Well, I'll give you one example.
The best way they can make that work is, oh, they were space travelers.
I'll give you one example.
Also, did they just jump off their planet when it swung by?
Right. It's a bus. It's basically like, here's your stop. Get on out. We'll be back in 3,600 years. No, yeah. They say this. So some of the Sumerian texts describe a god descending from heaven, right?
A common religious theme worldwide.
People have on the internet have taken that and gone, oh, this must have been a guy in a helmet coming down from a flying saucer.
Why, they got a picture of him?
No, but to them, the reference of a god obviously coming down from the heavens means they were coming from the sky, which is space. It must have been aliens that came.
Yeah.
Which is weird to have such stupid logic today, which is, I could understand how dumb that logic. That's actually not even dumb logic for 3,600 years ago. That's pretty logical. If you had no idea about science or anything else, you might assume that if rain comes from the sky,
well,
that's where the heavens That's
look,
where the
100 years ago, nobody imagined us ever exploring another planet. We were still 100 years ago. We were still 40 years away from people going to the moon.
That's actually
a really
good point.
A lot of perspective.
Yeah, even 100 years.
So when you would talk about, you know, interpreting this stuff in the 1700s, it probably wasn't top of mind aliens and other civilization on other planets. It was probably taken much more as it was intended to be, which is symbolic.
Do you think it's much more a result of just every era people are turning the gods into their favorite machine of the day, whether it is rocket ships from this century?
I think it's comforting for some people to think, all right, I don't know who's in charge of all this, but there's somebody. There's somebody in charge of all this.
And it's nobody in the White House. All right. Well, let us know what your thoughts are on ancient aliens. I know that I could have taken the very conspiratorial tact of it and been like, look, yeah, I could have pulled out a lot of the things that they claim.
Well,
but I don't want to do a line-by-line refutation of that here because that's what we would have done. We would have gone.
Well, a lot of it falls apart on its own.
Once you just start to look at it.
Once you start to look at it, you realize, well, this really makes no sense.
If anything, I think that's more fascinating is what was Mesopotamian mythology like? Because you had so many different groups of people that all kind of worship the same gods with a little different flavor on it. We still don't even know, I don't think, what the mythology was like for them. Maybe we do. Maybe that'll be another one. We'll talk about ancient Sumerian gods or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You ever take a Middle East class, class?
As it pertains to Bible history, mostly.
Do they teach the Bible as history?
Do they?
Oh, not they. Okay, when you went to school.
No, it was taught from a very scholarly point of view.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a lot of like reference points from the Bible that you could look to as history, but not literal history.
See, it was a pretty concern, and it was a Christian affiliated school, and I think I could see people's faces the first day in Old Testament history one, because the professor's like, okay, none of this is literal, guys, and you could just see like their entire worldview.
What do you mean? Like, we're gonna take a scholarly look at the Bible.
A comparative religion class, also the same thing. So there's a lot that was borrowed from previous religious traditions that ends up in other religious writings. Pretty much all of them that came afterwards. So Old Testament has some stories that are very similar to Sumerian. Some of the same heroes. You know, Noah was Gilgamesh. Actually, not Gilgamesh, but a character in the epic of Gilgamesh.
The flood definitely is.
The flood is definitely in
stories.
Different, traditions.
And even in Islam, what's the book called that they're liturgical book?
The Quran.
Thank you. That heavily references both the Old Testament and
the
some
New Testament. Yeah. Jesus is a prophet in the Muslim religion.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Not the son of God. Oh, a prophet.
Maybe on the next
which
one.
Puts him on the same footing as Muhammad.
Maybe on the next one. I was reading an article about they were saying no Christian, no Catholic, except the ones in Ethiopia, are practicing a religion even close to the Christianity that came in the few centuries right after Jesus was killed.
Oh, I would say the entire message got co-opted by a bunch of rich, powerful, and influential men of the day and warped into things that would suit their purposes. And that probably goes for every world religion.
Well, probably for every world religion. But they're saying that, like, specifically for Christianity, if you look at the history of the church, that there were several reformations, even before the Protestant Reformation. They had the Council of Nicaea to agree on things and to change. How many books of the Bible should we have? Is it 78 or do we need 66, or which ones can we get rid of or keep?
What are you
church
at?
In Ethiopia, they never took out any books from their Bible. It still has all 78 of the original, I think, or 82.
There's some crazy story. You think they're crazy stories in the regular Bible? You read like the Apocrypha, which means the Bible, the books of the Bible that were not included. They were considered. And eventually decided not to put them in.
I believe the Nigerian Catholic Church, or the church at the time, did include those things. There were five great centers of Christianity in ancient times. There was Alexandria in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
There was Antioch, which is in current Turkey. There was Rome. Of course.
Don't forget Oklahoma.
There was Okmulgee, Oklahoma, specifically. There was Constantinople.
Istanbul.
And then
Istanbul, Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, Constantinople.
But people forget that Ethiopia was also one of the great centers of there's several famous church fathers. Athanasius, I believe, was the head of the church there. So
yeah, it spread pretty quickly. For sure.
They were the main centers of Christianity, and all of them were conquered. Like, Alexandria was conquered by the Muslim invasion, including Jerusalem was conquered by the Muslim invasion. Rome was taken over by the Catholicism, which kind of changed things out. It never changed in Ethiopia.
I wasn't aware that it was so closely hewn to the source material.
That's what they say. Like incense. Did you know incense has a big thing that you're supposed to use incense because your prayers are supposed to go up with the incense? In Catholic Church, in the liturgy, it's very much putting incense during there. Praying for babies, baptizing babies.
These are longstanding Roman Catholic traditions.
What are sacraments?
Oh, boy. You know, I'm not Catholic. I wasn't raised Catholic.
I know one of them is the bread and the wine.
You know, the sacraments are the Lord's Supper, you know, doing the Lord's Supper. Last rites.
And then
are sacraments.
The Protestant Reformation got away of all of it, a lot of it. I think they only keep two sacraments.
They kept a lot of you know,
they cut the Bible books to like 62.
Yeah.
So next time we'll be talking about that. All right. Let us know what your thoughts are. You can message me, Nico at KLEQ.com. You can message Buzz at KLEQ.com. Or leave us a neckline call, which is 521-NECK. That's 915-521-NECK.
Let me just cut this off. A nip it in the bud if I can. Whatever your view of Christianity, religion, you're right. I agree with you.
We do not disagree with you on anything.
We don't disagree with you. You go right ahead. Whatever you want to believe is fine.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's it for today. Talk to you all next time.